Amen. It's such a crazy thing to think about, that verse that when Jesus comes in and into the city of Jerusalem, Palm Sunday, Hosanna, save us. People are crying out, holy, 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 you know what I mean? And people are like, tell your disciples to like zip it. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, if they wouldn't say it, that the rocks themselves cry out. And we were singing that song, and it's like we're joining a song that God's creation is singing. Everything speaks, and in heaven, that's what the song will be. You won't have years in eternity, but on my Spotify playlist right now, I have my top songs of 2020, and I won't embarrass myself and tell you what they are, but the top song in heaven goes something like that. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come. And it's something that we all sing together. It's so good. Well, welcome, you guys. If you've been with us for any length of time, you know a little bit about what we're about here at the Bridge. We want to worship God. We want to honor Him. We want to come together. We want to sit together, and we want to receive whatever it is that God would want to give us, because God wants to give us the goods. He never holds back. He never gives us second-rate stuff. He wants to give us the very best. Jesus says, I came to give life and to give it much more abundantly. That means to the fullness. Sometimes that means when it hurts, it really hurts. The fullness of sorrow and like that song we sang a minute ago, sometimes this season, it doesn't tell my story, but it's part of my story. But he wants to give fullness, abundance, and we want all that God has for us. Amen. So part of what we do is we come together and we ask God, would you impart some things to us? Hey, we believe that Jesus is alive. We don't believe that Jesus just walked the earth 2,000 years ago, and then that was it. But we believe that Jesus is still working, and He is drawing people to Himself. He is reconciling mankind to God, the Creator of everything, and it's just awesome. It's just awesome to get to be part of that, to get to experience Jesus in that way, to have the Word of God and the people of God and the Spirit of God. So as we move into this part of our service, we know that when we open the Bible, that we are opening the very Word of God. That these words in here are living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. They cut, it says that they divide between joints and marrow and soul and spirit. It means that the Bible performs surgery, open heart surgery, every time if you want it to. It can open you up and read you, but it not only does the Bible perform surgery, but it is the physical therapy as well. When I had knee surgery, they redid my whole knee, and then I had a personal trainer who helped me to strengthen it. And the Word of God doesn't only perform the surgery, but it is the very Word that is God-breathed, and it is profitable to strengthen us, to teach us, to direct us, to correct us, and to help us. And that's what we get to open together. So let's pray, and then let's do that. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for those truths that we're reminded of, not just about who we are, but who you are, and that we could sing that chorus together, hallelujah. It's like my favorite word. Praise God. God is number one. It just means that you are the best, Lord. We believe that. So, Father, we open your Word and we open our hearts. We don't hide anything. We just like, here we are. Would you show us who you are, Lord? Would you give us more of your heart, more of your love, more of your whatever it is that you want us to have? We're all yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are in part three of a four-week series called Mission Control. It's a little bit different than probably what we normally do. We normally teach through a series, maybe that kind of has a theme or a topic. A lot of what we do is we teach through books of the Bible. I feel a big part of my calling, Andrew and I talk about this, but a big part of what we are called to do is to equip, the Bible says, God's people with His word for the work that He has for them. So that's for you guys. So we want to teach and we want to teach you the whole Bible. So you can see how it all flows together and it's not separate. It's one beautiful story written over 2,000 years by 60 different authors, three different languages, but it is unified in the person of Jesus. And it all points to Him. And so we love going through God's Word. These 4 weeks, we're in the Bible. Everything we're doing is centered on Scripture, but it's a little different because we are sort of zooming. Let's see, would this be zooming out or zooming in? Maybe we are zooming in on something specific, and that is, what is the church? What is the role of the church in the world? What is the role of the Bridge in Bellingham? Or, you know, in our part of the world, for the time in which we live, we are taking what God has said in His Word, maybe worked through the first church, some things that Jesus has said, and really applied that to give us what we're calling our mission control. What controls the mission that God has set for our church, for us here and now? It's really good. So week one, we said, we talked about the church's overall mission. We showed what Jesus said about the mission of the church. And last week we started with our first for the Bridge, and it was that we are a gathering people. We talked about what that means to be a gathering people, committed to gathering together and committed to gathering others. So you can go back and listen to that if you missed it. But if you want to know what we're about at the church, it'd be good to hear this whole series. Because we are unique. Let's just be straight up. You're unique. It's good, and it can be bad, you know. People are like, you're unique. It's like, I don't know, is that good or bad? Well, I guess it depends, but God made you unique. You are special. All those things, if you're, you know, between the ages of 18 and 30, all the things you were told in school, it is true. You are unique. But so is the person standing next to you and the person standing next to them. We are all made in God's image. We are all unique. And churches are unique. There are different churches, minister here at this time to this, you know, certain group of people, and we do different things, we do a lot of the same things, we do it in different ways. And the Bridge is no different. We're unique. That's a nice word. At the Bridge, we say, we're kind of weird. Someone told me the other day, I tell people we're the gypsy church. And I just wanted to be like, I don't know if that's good or bad. If you mean that to be good, then sweet. We can be that. We just want to be what God has called us to be. And you know what? We know that God has called us to reach people, to be part of each other's lives, to do it simply. I love that verse that says, and they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. God added to their numbers every day that we're being saved. So we've kind of taken a three words for our mission control that keep us going down and focus on what God would have for us. Number one is gather. We're a gathering people. Number two this week is the word grow. We are committed to growth. So I want to preach a message this morning that isn't an all-encompassing message on what it is to grow as a Christian, because let's face it, we're going to be doing that forever. Do you know that as a follower of Jesus, you never arrive? You're like, yeah, but when we get to heaven, we arrive. Yeah, you may arrive physically in heaven, but Scripture actually says for eternity, you're actually going to grow more and more. You never arrive and you're like, boom, here I am, all grown up. It says that in the ages to come, for eternity, we will always grow in the knowledge and experience of how much God loves us. Isn't that a trip? You'll never be like, boom, I know how much God loves me. I'm there. I'm full 100%. It's a continual process forever. So we want to even say this morning, we want to trust the process. I remember last year, maybe the year before, I was talking to my father-in-law. Gary's his name, and just an amazing man. I look up to him so much, and we talk. You can just talk to him about anything. Super easygoing guy, and we were sitting there down at their house. They live down in Bow, and we were watching the boys do something. I can't remember what it was, but I said it's crazy. I remember saying to Gary, I said it's crazy that my kids are 12 and they're learning new firsts all the time. You know, when your kid is born and they hold something for the first time, you know, every dad's like, look at that grip. That there's what they call a death grip. Or when they walk, you know, you watch your kids take steps for the first time, start to say their first words, string their first sentences together, you know, and then time goes on and we're riding a bike for the first time and doing this. As they get older, there's like these new firsts, you know, that are like a little bit more like, oh, I remember the first time, you know, watching my boys hit a snowboard jump. We were shredding yesterday, the best day ever. We were up at the mountain. The snow was good. And we're just ripping around the mountain and there's like jumps. And I hit this thing and I look behind and here they come, like, boom. And just watching your kids do firsts. I was like, man, isn't it crazy? I know he can relate to that. He's a father, you know. I'm married to his daughter, but she was once this little girl doing first. And in my mind, this is where firsts are. Look at him doing these firsts. And he looked at me and he goes, yeah, I'm still doing it. And I kind of stopped for a second and I looked at him and I'm like, dang, it like blew my mind. His daughter's 41. She'll be 42. Next week. That's right. Welcome to the club, babe. But in Gary's mind, he's watching his daughter do, these are some new firsts. She's parenting her first 12-year-old and 10-year-old for the first time. She's making decisions about schooling for this age of kid for the first time. Well, we are together, but he's talking about his daughter and me. We've been married 17 years. They're my parents too, you know? And I was just like, oh my gosh, it never stops. He's still learning what it is to watch his kid do something for the first time. And that's just the process. And he wasn't like, yeah, yep, that's what you're doing. He's like, we're doing this together. And we just know that growing, it's simply that. It's a process. It's not a destination. So I really like this word because it says so much. It's an action word. It means that something is happening. Growth is a picture that, it's a word picture that is used all over the Bible. It's something that God has wanted for all people, for all time. And it is something that God wants for us now, and it is something that God will always want for everyone. It's timeless. God wants people to grow. And he wants us to know that we will never, ever stop growing if we're doing it the way God wants us to. So that's just a quick little word to all the know-it-alls out there. All the ones that think that you have come to this place where you've got it figured out. And you may not say, I've got it figured out, but you kind of live with this mindset that I've got it figured out. They need to catch up. They need to get it figured out. This is a mindset that is actually can lead to a pretty toxic place. It's the same mindset that the Pharisees would have had in Jesus' time. It's the same mindset that leads to a legalistic and a judgmental attitude that says, I've got it, they don't, thank God I'm not like them. There's a difference between being grateful, thank God, thank you, Lord, I'm not where I was, because you see brokenness in someone and it breaks your heart for where they are, and then you remember, but you see where God has brought you from. So you're just like, thank you, Lord, that I'm not where I was. And then your heart is broken for a circumstance as opposed to looking down on a circumstance. So if you think you're done growing, think again. That's why it's good to read wide the whole Bible. Because the stories of the lives that have gone before us give us so much hope for ours. Let me give you an example. We just got done reading Exodus, right? When you read about Moses, now if you don't know much about church, you hear about Moses and you're like, oh yeah, I think he was really buff, sick beard, very well trimmed on the sides. I saw a picture of him on Instagram the other day, kind of hipster, tattoos, and really good leader. You can take the Moses Leadership School, I'm pretty sure. Then you read about it and you're like, dude, Moses was a mess sometimes. But at times he would lead in capabilities way beyond his own. And he had insane wisdom. And there was a closeness to God, yet there was fear and brokenness and all of these things. Or David, he killed Goliath, yeah. He was the best king who ever lived. Yeah, he also ran for his life for 3 years. He was afraid of what would happen to him by when he was following the Lord and people were after him. Yet he wanted to show reverence and respect and he cheated with his, like, one of his tightest homies' wife. It's like, yet somehow he's called a man after God's own heart. It's because that there was this sense of brokenness before God, of utter dependence upon the grace of God and the direction of God, and that on his own he was nothing. That's why he was such a rad king. So you read that and you're like, oh, or Peter, a fisherman, blue collar dude. God calls him. Jesus calls him, asks him to follow him. Peter denies Jesus. He walked with him 3.5 years. Jesus gets arrested. Peter's out warming himself by a fire, and this little kid's like, I know you. You've been hanging with Jesus. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about, you stupid kid. And they're like, someone was like, later, they're like, dude, I swear I've seen you before. And it says, and he was cussing and all this stuff. Christians don't cuss out loud too often, but he's just a guy. And you know what happens? He does that, and it says that when he cursed Jesus 3 times that he ever knew him, Jesus looked across. Somehow there was an eye contact where Jesus like looked across, and he wasn't like, told you, fool. He looked and he loved him. And Peter was broken, so broken that he quit. He goes, I'm going back to fishing. And what did Jesus do? He met him in that place of fallen, and he restored him. And then at the end of Peter's life, when he wrote some stuff for us, we have this verse. This is Peter's advice, his counsel for people. Check this out. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. This is what Peter says. But grow. So he's saying some things and he puts a therefore. So he's like, so the therefore, what you should want to do, push toward, think about, because he's talking about things that pull us away and that are, and you can read it, 2 Peter. But at the end he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So it's like life is doing all these things. Here's this social issue. Here's this political issue. Here's this relational issue. Here's all of these things. And instead of saying, well, grow in this, 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 and this, he says, grow in the grace of God and the knowledge of God. He knew this would help others. Why? Because this is what helped him. It wasn't all the facts. It wasn't being, I'm Peter, yo. It was, I'm loved by God. I learned from the Word of God. That was his counsel. So that's the bridge. That's us, this church. We're a place where people can grow in their knowledge of the Bible and their experience of God's love and power. We are a place where people can grow in their knowledge of the Bible. How do we do that? We teach the Bible and we do it in a way that is understandable to people who don't have, aren't steeped in traditional Christian understanding. I was 17 when I got saved, and I thought Jesus was like what you said when you stubbed your toe. I had no, zero understanding of the gospel. Nothing. I've heard the term Jesus. I heard the term God. So it's not only possible, it's more possible and likely now than it was. I'm 42, 17, do the math. However many years ago that was, we live in a culture now that is more likely, not less likely. Absolutely. This is where we live. So we at the Bridge, we want people to understand the Bible. So we talk through the Bible, but we do it in a way in our gatherings that we talked about last week, simple, understandable, relatable. The Holy Spirit can make it powerful. We want to make it understandable, right? So that's what we're about. So we're a place where people can grow in their knowledge of the Bible and grow in their experience of God in their lives, his love, the grace and knowledge, and his power. God is working in my life. Or you could say it like this, and I'll break it down. We're a place where people can grow in the way of Jesus. Andrew and I were talking about that this last week. So I had him, we met up. Because, man, it's been a crazy year for meeting up and hanging out. But it was refreshing to my soul. We just hung out for a bit, and we talked about you guys and how we could do better. And we're encouraging each other. Because you know how it is, right? You're your own worst critic, if you're anything like me, about all the stuff that you should do or wish you could do or didn't do. But then you surround yourself with people who speak life into you And so anyways, we were doing that. We're trying to encourage each other. And we were talking about this way of Jesus. So at the Bridge, we are a gathering people and we are committed to growth. Next week, we'll finish it off with we give back. It's our response to these things. A couple of things about growth before I get into exactly at the Bridge how we do that. And you can jot these down. But it's something good to think about as we're learning to trust the process. Number one, growth is optional. So you have the option. This is your mission, should you choose to accept it. This is important for us. That's why I use the word, we are committed to growth. Because we live in a time where commitment is hard. I don't know if someone's coined this term or not. It makes sense in my head that we live in a convenience commitment culture. We're committed as long as it's convenient. Oh, we're in until it gets hard or something better comes along and then, oh, I'm out. Growth is like that. That's why New Year's resolutions don't typically last. I'm a believer in them. I think they're great. If you want to start something, but you can want to start and not do it. Why? Because the commitment wanes. That's why I love the book of Proverbs. If you've been around the bridge for any length of time, I talk about Proverbs all the time. There's 31 of them, one for every day of the month. And it's like a rapid machine gun fire of growth opportunity, bits of wisdom, should you choose to accept it. It's a book where the opportunities to grow are very clear and they're presented over and over and over. Look at this one. Proverbs 18:2. I seriously just popped a couple out of here. Hold on a minute. My iTunes wants to talk to me. I don't want it to. Proverbs 18:2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Is that not a growth opportunity right there? I'll read it again. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding or learning or growing or listening. A fool takes no pleasure in that, but only in expressing his opinion. I love it. The poetic kind of wording given to that. And you could break that down and you could say it in another way. The wise person takes joy in growing, not just in expressing his opinion. The wise person understands that there is something to be learned, not just something to be taught. But the fool doesn't want to learn, just express his opinion. It could be said, it is foolish not to want to grow. It is wise to commit to the growing process. Jesus put it this way. John chapter 6, verse 66. This is crazy because this is a verse. I have a weird thing with numbers. So I don't really like the number 6. It's cool. It's even. It's divisible by, sorry, I married a math person. But I like 7 better. 7's cool, John Elway. It's also God's number. If you like 7, it's the number of commitment. 8, eternity. 3, completion. Or 7's not commitment, it's fullness, completed. Anyways, John chapter 6, verse 66. I was like, oh, because it's 666. And when you brown the Bible, you're like, that's like the devil's number. But this is what I love, because God's bigger than numbers of my weird superstitions. And that's why some days I'll put my first sock on my left foot and other days on my right foot, just to tell myself, I don't believe in that. But John chapter 66, or John 6, verse 66 through 69, Jesus puts this commitment, this convenience commitment. He had just finished feeding like 15,000 people with one, he had one person's little meal. And he feeds all of these people. And then he tells his disciples, go get in the boat. We're going to cross over. We're going to go to the other side of the lake. The next day, the people woke up. They were hungry. Hopefully, there was like some breakfast fish tacos that were left over. Where's Jesus? He's gone. Where's his disciples? They're gone. The lake is 12 miles across or something. So they look and they can actually see, oh, I think they're on that side. And so the crowds walk around the lake. They get to where Jesus is and they're kind of like, can we have some more food? And Jesus is like, you guys are following me because of this type of food you can get. And I'm trying to tell you that I am a different kind of food. So then Jesus goes into this thing in John chapter 6, where this is where he says, you want to not eat fish and bread. You want to actually partake of me. You want to take me in. I am true bread. I will give you nourishment. And then people are like, what? Jesus is talking about eating his flesh and drinking blood, and what the heck is that? And it says, the people said, this is a hard saying. John chapter 6, verse 66, and we'll pick it up. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. John 6:66, one of the saddest verses in the New Testament. After this, this opportunity for growth, this opportunity to go deeper with Jesus, but because there was something they couldn't figure out or Jesus wanted them to learn something new, it says, many of his disciples turned away and no longer walked with him. So then what does Jesus do? He turns to his 12, his students, his followers. The Bible calls them disciples, but the ones that are committed to grow. And he says, do you want to go away as well? Opportunity. This is a hard thing. Like, what? I don't quite understand what you're doing, Jesus. And there's something that you want me to learn here. And a lot of people are like, I'm not down with that. That's just crazy talk. And he says, do you want to go away too? Verse 68, Simon Peter answered. So Peter, Lord, he wasn't like, no way. He wasn't one of his Peter moments, you know, but he said, Lord, where could we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. In a way, he was saying, Lord, there's a lot of stuff we don't know, but here's what we have come to know. You are who you say you are. You alone have what we need to grow. You alone have the words of eternal life. Where can we go now that we've tasted eternity and it is in our hearts? We're going to stick with you. We're going to do like the bottom of your In-N-Out shake cup says. Go to In-N-Out Burger. If you order a shake, look underneath the bottom of the cup. It'll say this verse. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God and he will direct your paths. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. Don't let what you don't know stop you from growing because Jesus is saying what we do know is greater, and we know him. So that so growth is optional. So I can pose to you this question. Do you want to grow or go? That's what Jesus said. Do you want to go away as well? And there was the option. There's the option for growth. There's the option to join a gym. You can even join the gym and have the fob on your keychain so you feel good about yourself when you're doing drive-through, you know, something or other, food. With lots of stuff that you got to go and work out for. Anyways, you can have the fob and you can even go to the gym and you can never get stronger because it's an option. Okay, second thing about growth, it's incremental. It comes in small bits. It's not like you get the Holy Spirit, download, done, perfect, read the Bible once, I'm good. God plays the long game. That's what I love about our church. It's story after story after story of God playing the long game, of which I'm not just a member, but I'm also the president of God's long game process. In process, I look at how God has played the long game with me, and it just gives me such a heart to see that with people. That's why we said last week, the bridge is a place where we have gospel plus safety plus time, because growth is a process, not a download. We're not Neo in the Matrix. I know Kung Fu. It's God is showing me. I'm growing. God is showing me what it means to be impatient. You're like, download patience. I have patience. There's tons of opportunity to exercise patience, where patience is an option, and we see how patient God is with us, and this is growth. Growth is incremental. The third thing, growth is best when it's intentional. Okay? This is like, maturity is not measured by one's learning. Maturity is measured by someone's lifestyle. It's not measured by learning. It's measured by lifestyle. And it is very possible to read the Bible from cover to cover and miss Jesus completely. When Jesus says, follow me, he is inviting you on a new journey to grow with him. That's this growing in the way of Jesus. Look at the disciples. He says, so they followed him. And so They listened to what he said, and they adopted his lifestyle. That's what the term disciple means, one who is committed to growth. You adopt for yourself someone's teaching and lifestyle. So how do we intentionally do that? Well, committing to growth is simply putting yourself in an optimal position for growth. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Do you see the word picture? I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches, speaking to his disciples, his followers, those 12 guys and the people that were with him. But he speaks this to us as well. So Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, beautiful word picture. Play this out. What does it take for fruit? My goodness, we could preach it, and when we get to John 15 one of these days, we'll go through that. But that is a process. Fruit is a process. Buds, spring, we're getting ready to have all the buds happen around here. Warmth, soil temperatures rise, conditions change, nutrients come, sunlight, water, all the stuff, right? Fruit is a natural byproduct of a healthy tree. Jesus is the tree. We are the branches. Our job is to stay grafted in. Put yourself in optimal positions for growth. This is a year where people, I read it the other day, it breaks my heart. Barna Research says that in 2020, 1 in 3, 30%, 1 in 3 church people who go to church regularly have just quit going. 1 in 3, 30%. And churches are reeling, like, how do we do it? Online engagement. No, you gotta fight for in-person gatherings. It's the only way, because this way is not really a gathering. You gotta be like this, or you gotta be like that, or do what this person's doing. And people are reeling because they're trying to figure out how to keep people connected. But the reality is, according to this study, that 30% was just like, I'm just done for now. Maybe they say for now. And it's like, well, why? Is online church not engaging enough? Some people are like, no, it's not well done enough. The big answer for millennials, which is awesome, is video church isn't done well enough. But the bigger one is that it's done too well. They're trying too hard. That's the best, dude. It needs to be more like raw and gritty, and we need to connect, you know? And it's hard because you're trying to be what people want, but the reality is people have chosen to step away for some reason and be isolated. And when you're isolated, we ask these questions like, why am I not growing? But Jesus is saying, look for opportunity. So we have Sunday gatherings as a church. We'll take what we can get. This is what we have. Hopefully here in the next few weeks, we're going to have an in-person option. We're praying for it. Please continue to pray. This is what we got. We have life groups. This is an opportunity. Yeah, but they meet online. Yeah, but man, we're growing in ours because we're doing life together, and it's awesome. You have people that you can call and go for a walk, personal time with Jesus. Maybe you grew up and you call them your devotional time. For some people, like, what does that mean? It just means time that you just spend going, hey, Jesus, it's me. JJ, sure is nice outside today. I hope that you could help me I got a lot on my plate and I just want to do a good job and I want to be a good dad and I want to be a good husband. And you say you're going to help me grow. Would you help me today? Here's what I have to do. And then I go about those things. And it's just that time, conversation, serving others, not making it about what you're not getting, but how can we serve someone else? It's the opposite of sitting in isolation. Because let's be real. I heard this from a pastor last week, Craig Groeschel, guy's awesome. Pastor's Life Church has a killer leadership podcast, but he says this, he says, intentions don't determine direction. Actions determine direction. Growth is best when it's intentional. Like, I really want to grow. Oh, I really want to have this one day. I really want to do that. And you can stand back and I really, 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 or you can take steps. Direction. Intentions don't determine direction. Action determines direction. All right. Let's just bring this even in more so is how do we do that here? Well, when you look at that text that we've kind of been our launch pad, pun intended, for our Mission Control series, Acts chapter 2. You can go back there and we can flag it real quick. And I want to read you a couple of verses and we'll make a couple of points of application and then we'll be done. So in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, it says this. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the fellowship to the breaking of bread and the prayers. That's what we should say. Let's go to the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, or glad and simple hearts, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day that were being saved. They were committed to growth. You could say, and we are at the Bridge, we are committed to personal growth. We are committed to relational growth, and we are committed to numerical growth. Let's look at the first one. We are committed to personal growth. This is the grow in your experience of God. Now, when you look back at this last year, you could say, I really need to grow in and then fill in the blank. For instance, it's February, Black History Month. I think that it is evident that there, in our culture, from whatever cultural background that you are from, that there is an area of that could really benefit from some growth here, to understand, to put ourselves, to walk in someone else's shoes and to understand. But there are so many areas where we could be like, I need to grow here, I need to grow here. And we can get a little overwhelmed. What area do I need to grow in? You may ask yourself. Now we are a church body with a bunch of people asking the same questions. We all have different stories. We all are at different places in life. We all have different backgrounds, different struggles, so many differences that it's easy for us to focus on the differences, but that's not what Jesus does. He wants us to see how much more in common we have than we may realize. See, the cool thing about committed to personal growth in Jesus is, guess what? We all need that. And he says when we are growing with him, when we are abiding in the vine, fruit comes in the areas where it needs to come. And we are under, it's not to stick your head in the mud and be like, I'm with Jesus. I don't need to know about social issues. That's not what the Bible's saying. It says that as we grow up and Jesus gives us more of his word, more of his heart, more of his character, if we're growing in the way of Jesus, what he said and how he lived, we're going to deal with social issues so much better because we're going to know how to act with the love of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus, to give people the honor that Jesus gave honor to people that blew others away. Why would you even talk to this person? Why do you care about that? We get Jesus's heart. We all need it. There's that term that's going around right now called, it's being woke. Like, you know what's up. Aware of all the stuff and aware of all the stuff behind the stuff. What's really going on? I'm sorry, this is cheesy, but it's really good. We live in a generation that wants to be woke, but Jesus would ask, would you be yoked? Jesus puts it like this. Come to me, all of you who are working and you have heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. A yoke was put on an oxen to plow a field. They would fit it custom. There was a yoke maker, and he would be like, oh, this ox, Benny was this oxen's name. Benny needs a big wide yoke because he's a brute. And they would take the young oxen and they'd put it up next to the mature one who's been doing it a long time, and they would custom fab a yoke for him. And so they would yoke them up together. So this one would do the heavy work, but also the training of the young one. Jesus is saying, yoke up with me. My yoke is easy. I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He was saying, I will walk right side by side. Matter of fact, when you look back on it, you'll see how much we plowed together and you'll realize Jesus did the heavy lifting, but he was training. There's opportunity for growth to understand. He will give his word to nourish you. He will give the Holy Spirit to teach you, to comfort you and guide you. He will bring people in your life to encourage you and help you along. And then he will give you fruit to feed others. We're committed to personal growth here. We are committed to relational growth. Relational growth is growing in the experience of one another. You know that book I've been telling you guys about, The Gospel by Ray Ortland? It's really good. He says this. It is only in a church that we are members of Christ and members of one another, moving forward together like a well-coordinated body. Bible calls us the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, we're the body, we're working together. It is together that we suffer. It is together that we thrive. Excuse me. It is together that we worship and grow and serve. That's what your church is. Ground zero for the new kind of community Christ is creating in the world today and putting on display for his glory. That is gospel culture. I love it. That's what we want to be. We are committed to relational growth, to seeing the body strengthened, to seeing different gifts being used, people from different backgrounds. This is a place, we like to say, where everyone can play. You don't have to have a PhD to serve God in a great capacity with others, because remember, like what did we say earlier, it's not about your learning, it's about your lifestyle. We want to put these things into play. So we gather together, and we gather others to Jesus. And people will know this is a place where they can grow. Why? Because this is a place where we are growing. That's the best way to fight against what the world looks at the organization of the church. Oh, here's a group of people trying to sell me something. They want something from me. As opposed to, here's a group of people working together and they're growing. We know the soil is good. We're not standing back trying to tell people, oh, we're good, here's what you need. We're just saying, dude, we're worshiping God, we're growing. Come, this will help because it helps us. The last thing, we are committed to numerical growth. I call this growing our territory. It says God added to their numbers those that were being saved. He also said the fields are ripe with harvest, meaning there's a lot of people that don't want to hear. And sometimes, unfortunately, some of the people that don't want to hear were like people that have really strong opinions on what the church should be doing, should be, and they don't want to hear. And Jesus is saying, yeah, but there's a lot of people who do want to hear. The fields are ripe for harvest. The Bible calls us to make disciples. Do you know that like 90-something percent of church growth comes from what is called the reshuffle? And I get it. There are different churches for different people, and you might go someplace for a while and it just doesn't fit. I totally understand. I'm not bagging that at all. But it's like 100% of the churches are dealing with, how do I make this sound right? Kind of like fighting over the same people. It's weird. Oh, did you hear what they're doing? Man, that's really good. I'm going over there now. And then you go over there for a while, and then you realize, oh, these people are messed up too, and it's not perfect. Okay, and then people go here. People typically stick at a church for a few years, and they move on. I get it. You physically move. There's other churches. Like I said, I'm friends with all sorts of pastors and other ministries, and we're going to work with them more and more and more in the future because we're trying to reach the 6% that aren't a part. We want to make disciples at the Bridge. We want to reach people, not reshuffle. So we want to word things in a way, include people in a way that's like, dude, this is for me. This is for you too. Come in. We want to, that's what we're called to do. We want to grow in this area of including, but we want to grow in what God is doing, right? If you believe that, put amen in the chat. We are committed at the Bridge to growing personally, relationally, and numerically. I just want to read this last scripture because I love it personally, and then we'll sing, but maybe write this down or life groups chat about this. I don't know. I almost took it out, but because it's so personal that, but I know it relates to our church and you guys as well. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16. Let me read this, and then we'll be done for the day. This is Paul. Paul planted a lot of churches. He actually hated Jesus for a big chunk of his life and hated Christians. He was very zealous, like sold out for religion. To be in this moral person, you follow these certain things, but there was something missing inside. He meets Jesus, and Jesus is like, "Hey, Paul, these people," he's like, "you're actually persecuting me." Paul's life changes around. He 100%. He is born again, totally new person, goes, and his whole mission is to tell people it's not about rules, it's not about religion, it's about knowing Jesus, the grace of God. And along his journeys, he met this young guy named Timothy, and he brings him along. He's like his son or little brother or what have you. And he kind of saw something in Timothy and sort of passed. He was kind of like the one who would take over for Paul in a way. And so he wrote to Timothy, and this is what he says to him. He says, "If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be a worthy servant of Jesus Christ, one who is nourished by the message of faith and good teaching you have followed. Don't waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly." Physical training is good. You want to work out this year? Good. You want to strengthen your core? Good. You want to stretch more? That's what I'm doing. Because I'm old and my body hurts. Good. But training for godliness is much better. Promising benefits in this life and the one to come. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle. For our hope is on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of all believers. Teach these things. Insist that everyone learn them. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say and the way you live and your love and faith and purity. He's like, just go. Just grow, man. Okay, here's the last part. Until I get there, Paul was in jail when he wrote this? He wasn't physically with Timothy. Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church. Now, Timothy's a pastor. This is where it hits personally. But let me just put your name right in this. Focus on reading the scriptures to yourself. Encourage those around you. Teach them. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received. Don't look down on how God put you together. And he says, give your attention to these matters. Verse 15, throw yourself into these tasks so that everyone will see your progress. You know what that means? It means go for it. In snowboarding terms, what I'd say to my boys is you're gonna fall, and that's okay. Everybody falls. And you get back up and you do it again. And then you get back up and you do it again. Eventually you'll land it. And then you keep going. It's saying when people see your progress, they see that you're not perfect. But they see that you're committed to growing. And then they see the results. They see the fruit. It's easier to see fruit in someone else's life than it is in yours. That's why we gather around and encourage each other. Because when you're like, oh my gosh, I'm horrible. Or that when we're down, we come along and you're like, dude, God is using you in my life, in our city's life, in our church's life. And we're growing together. And that's what he's saying to Timothy. Just send it, man. Keep going. Don't give up. Be committed to growing. And that's us. We are committed to growing. We trust the process. Father, thank you for today and for your word. You read us to the depths of who we are. The thing about training, Lord, is it is hard sometimes. And it hurts a little bit. It hurts our pride. It hurts our security, our like pretend view of control. If I can control this and control this, and you're like, man, you can't control. We can give it to you though, Lord. You want us to grow. You're not trying to beat us down. You're trying to build us up. Strengthen the body. Strengthen us personally. We believe you. And maybe for you this morning, you've kind of been struggling with like, what does 2021 look like? And I need to do this or need to do that. But maybe the Lord's calling you to just simply being like, Lord, I'm just going to commit myself to growing in my relationship with you in new ways. I may not see the finish line, but you see the finish line and I see you. So Lord, we love you. Pray you do that work in our hearts as we sing these last songs to you. We think about giving back financially with our tithes and offerings, Lord. We love you. We thank you. We pray everything in Jesus' name. And the bridge said, amen. Amen.